text. This was the cause that the damsel came into this court. I know it as well as ye. Would God she had not comen into this court, but she came never in fellowship of worship to do good, but always great harm. And that knight that hath achieved the sword shall be destroyed by that sword, for which will be great damage, asterisk. For there liveth not a knight of more prowess than he is, and he shall do unto you, my lord Arthur, great honor and kindness. And it is great pity he shall not endure but a while, for of his strength and hardiness I know not his match living. Asterisk damage, grief, return to text. So the knight of Ireland armed him at all points, and dressed his shield on his shoulder, and mounted upon horseback, and took his spear in his hand, and rode after a great pace, as much as his horse might go. And within a little space on a mountain he had a sight of Balin, and with a loud voice he cried, Abide, knight, for ye shall abide, whether ye will or nill, and the shield that is to fore you shall not help. When Balin heard the noise, he turned his horse fiercely and said, Fair knight, what will ye with me? Will ye joust with me? Yea, said the Irish knight, therefore come I after you. Peradventure, said Balin, it had been better to have held you at home, for many a man weeneth to put his enemy to a rebuke, and oft it falleth to himself. Of what court be ye sent from? Said Balin. I am come from the court of King Arthur, said the knight of Ireland, that come hither for to revenge the despite ye did this day to King Arthur and to his court. Page 68. Well, said Balin, I see well I must have ado with you, that he forthinketh for to grieve King Arthur or any of his court. And your quarrel is full simple, said Balin, unto me, for the lady that is dead did me great damage, and else would I have been loth as any knight that liveth for to slay a lady. Make you ready, said the knight Lancear, and dress you unto me, for that one shall abide in the field. Then they took their spears and came together as much as their horses might drive, and the Irish knight smote Balin on the shield, that all went shivers of his spear, and Balin hit him through the shield, and the hauberk perished, and so pierced through his body and the horse's croup, and anon turned his horse fiercely, and drew out his sword, and wist not that he had slain him, and then he saw him lie as a dead corpse. Chapter 6. How a damsel which was loved to Lancear slew herself for love, and how Balin met with his brother Balan. When he looked by him and was ware of a damsel that came riding, (1) full fast as the horse might ride, on a fair palfrey, and when she espied that Lancear was slain, she made sorrow out of measure and said, O Balin, two bodies thou hast slain in one heart, and two hearts in one body, and two souls thou hast lost. And therewith she took the sword from her love that lay dead, and fell to the ground in a swoon. And when she arose, she made great dole out of measure, the which sorrow grieved Balin passingly sore, and he went unto her for to have taken the sword out of her hand. But she held it so fast, he might not take it out of her hand unless he should have hurt her, and suddenly she set the pommel to the ground and rove herself through her body. Page 69. When Balin espied her deeds, he was passing heavy in his heart, and ashamed that so fair a damsel had destroyed herself for the love of his death. Alas, said Balin, me repenteth sore the death of this knight, for the love of this damsel, for there was much true love betwixt them both, and for sorrow might not longer behold him, but turned his horse and looked toward a great forest. And there he was ware, by the arms, of his brother Balan. And when they were met, they put off their helms and kissed together and wept for joy and pity. Then Balan said, I little weened to have met with you at this sudden adventure. I am right glad of your deliverance of your dolorous prisonment, for a man told me in the castle of Four Stones that ye were delivered, and that man had seen you in the court of Wing Arthur, and therefore I came hither into this country, for here I supposed to find you. Anon the knight Balin told his brother of his adventure of the sword and of the death of the Lady of the Lake, and how King Arthur was displeased with him. Wherefore he sent this knight after me that lieth here dead, and the death of this damosel grieveth me sore. So doth it me, said Balan, but ye must take the adventure that God will ordain you. "Truly," said Balin, "I am right heavy that my lord Arthur is displeased with me, for he is the most worshipful knight that reigneth now on earth, and his love will I get, or else I will put my life in adventure, for the king Rience lieth at a siege at Castle Terrabil, and thither will we draw in all haste to prove our worship and prowess upon him." "I will well," said Balin, "that we do, and we will help each other as brethren ought to do." Page 70. Chapter 7. How a dwarf reproved Balin for the death of Lancear, and how King Mark of Cornwall found them and made a tomb over them. "Now go we hence," said Balin, "and well we be met." The meanwhile, as they talked, there came a dwarf from the city of Camelot on horseback as much as he might, and found the dead bodies, wherefore he made great dole, and pulled out his hair for sorrow, and said, "Which of you knights have done this deed?" "Whereby askest thou it?" said Balin. "For I would wit it," said the dwarf. "It was I," said Balin, "that slew this knight in my defendant, asterisk. For hither he came to chase me, and other I must slay him, or he me, and this damosel slew herself for his love, which repenteth me, and for her sake I shall owe all women the better love." Defendant, defense, return to text. "Alas," said the dwarf, "thou hast done great damage unto thyself, for this knight that is here dead was one of the most valiantest men that lived, and trust well, Balin, the kin of this knight will chase you through the world till they have slain you." "As for that," said Balin, "I fear not greatly, but I am right heavy that I have displeased my lord King Arthur for the death of this knight." So as they talked together, there came a king of Cornwall riding, the which hight King Mark. And when he saw these two bodies dead, and understood how they were dead by the two knights above said, then made the king great sorrow for the true love that was betwixt them, and said, "I will not depart till I have on this earth made a tomb." And there he pitched his pavilions, and sought through all the country to find a tomb, and in a church they found one was fair and rich, and then the king let put them both in the earth, and put the tomb upon them, and wrote the names of them both on the tomb, how, "Here lieth Lancear, the king's son of Ireland, that at his own request was slain by the hands of Balin, and how his lady, Colombe and Paramour, slew herself with her love's sword for dole and sorrow." Page 71. Chapter 8. How Merlin prophesied that two of the best knights of the world should fight there, which were Sir Lancelot and Sir Tristram. The meanwhile, as this was a-doing, in came Merlin to King Mark, seeing all his doing, said, "Here shall be in the same place the greatest battle betwixt two knights that was or ever shall be, and the truest lovers, and yet none of them shall slay other." And there Merlin wrote their names upon the tomb with letters of gold that should fight in that place, whose names were Lancelot de Lake and Tristram. "Thou art a marvelous man," said King Mark unto Merlin, "that speakest of such marvels. Thou art a boisterous asterisk man, and unlikely to tell of such deeds." "Boisterous, unsophisticated," returned the text. "What is thy name?" said King Mark. "At this time," said Merlin, "I will not tell. But at that time when Sir Tristram is taken with his sovereign lady, then we shall hear and know my name, and at that time ye shall hear tidings that shall not please you." Then said Merlin of Balin, "Thou hast done thyself great hurt, because that thou savest not this lady that slew herself, that might have saved her, and thou wouldest." "By the faith of my body," said Balin, "I might not save her, for she slew herself suddenly." "Me repenteth," said Merlin, "because of the death of that lady thou shalt strike a stroke most dolorous that ever man struck, except the stroke of our Lord. For thou shalt hurt the truest knight, and the man of most worship that now liveth, and through this stroke three kingdoms shall be in great poverty, misery, and wretchedness 12 years, and the knight shall not be whole of that wound many years." Page 72. Then Merlin took his leave of Balin, and Balin said, "If I wist it were sooth that ye say, I should do such perilous deed as that, I would slay myself to make thee a liar." Therewith Merlin vanished away suddenly, and then Balin and his brother took their leave of King Mark. "First," said the king, "tell me your name." "Sir," said Balan, "ye may see he beareth two swords, thereby ye may call him the Knight with the Two Swords." And so departed King Mark unto Camelot to King Arthur, and Balin took the way toward King Rience. And as they rode together, they met with Merlin disguised, but they knew him not. "Whither ride you?" said Merlin. "We have little to do," said the two knights, "to tell thee." "But what is thy name?" said Balin. "At this time," said Merlin, "I will not tell it thee." "It is evil seen, asterisk," said the knights, "that thou art a true man, that thou wilt not tell thy name." "Evil seen, hard to see," returned a text. "As for that," said Merlin, "be it as it be may, I can tell you wherefore ye ride this way, for ye meet King Rience, but it will not avail you without ye have my counsel." "Ah," said Balin, "ye are Merlin. We will be ruled by your counsel." "Come on," said Merlin, "ye shall have great worship, and look that ye do knightly, for ye shall have great need." "As for that," said Balan, "dread you not, we will do what we may." Page 73. Chapter 9. How Balin and his brother, by the counsel of Merlin, took King Rience and brought him to King Arthur. Then Merlin lodged them in a wood among leaves beside the highway, and took off the bridles of their horses, and put them to grass, and laid them down to rest them till it was nigh midnight. Then Merlin had them rise, and make them ready, for the king was nigh them, that was stolen away from his host with a 70 horses of his best knights, and 20 of them rode to fore to warn the Lady de Vance that the king was coming, for that night King Rience should have lain with her. "Which is the king?" said Balin. "Abide," said Merlin, "here in a straight way ye shall meet with him." And therewith he showed Balin and his brother where he rode. "Straight, narrow," returned a text. Anon Balin and his brother met with the king, and smote him down, and wounded him fiercely, and laid him to the ground. And there they slew on the right hand and the left hand, and slew more than 40 of his men, and the remnant fled. Then went they again to King Rience, and would have slain him, had he not yielded him unto their grace. Then said he thus, "Knights, full of prowess, slay me not, for by my life ye may win, and by my death ye shall win nothing." Then said these two knights, "Ye say sooth and truth," and so laid him on a horse litter. With that Merlin was vanished, and came to King Arthur aforehand, and told him how his most enemy was taken and discomfited. "By whom?" said King Arthur. "By two knights," said Merlin, "that would please your lordship, and tomorrow ye shall know what knights they are." Anon after came the knight with the two swords, and Balan his brother, and brought with them King Rience of North Wales, and there delivered him to the porters, and charged them with him, and so they two returned again in the dawning of the day. Page 74. King Arthur came then to King Rience, and said, "Sir King, ye are welcome. By what adventure come ye hither?" "Sir," said King Rience, "I came hither by a hard adventure." "Who won you?" said King Arthur. "Sir," said the king, "the knight with the two swords and his brother, which are two marvelous knights of prowess." "I know them not," said Arthur, "but much I am beholden to them." "Ah," said Merlin, "I shall tell you, it is Balin that achieved the sword, and his brother Balan, a good knight. There liveth not a better of prowess than of worthiness, and it shall be the greatest dole of him that ever I knew of knight, for he shall not long endure." "Alas," said King Arthur, "that is great pity, for I am much beholding unto him, and I have ill deserved it unto him for his kindness." "Nay," said Merlin, "he shall do much more for you, and that shall ye know in haste. But, sir, are ye purveyed?" said Merlin, "for to morn the host of Nero, King Rience's brother, will set on you noon with a great host, and therefore make you ready, for I will depart from you." Chapter 10. How King Arthur had a battle against Nero and King Lot of Orkney, and how King Lot was deceived by Merlin, and how 12 kings were slain. Then King Arthur made ready his host in 10 battles, and Nero was ready in the field afore the castle Terrabil.